From the Lynn to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of April 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. University of Minnesota Extension Agricultural Economist will join us, Ed Usett, to discuss last Friday's grain stocks and acreage figures. There were some big changes in acreage in Minnesota. I'll ask him about those. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too. We'll do that with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world. Click and play our programming anytime you'd like on demand from willag.org, or use the podcast tab there to subscribe to the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and even the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy podcast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn at 435.5 today, finished 6.5 cents lower. July at 449.25, down 5.25 cents for the afternoon. And the December at 474.75, 3 lower, that for the new crop. May soybeans at 1186.75, down 5.75. July 1199.5, down 5.75. And new crop November down 3.75 at $11.82.5 a bushel. Bean meal futures down $4.30. The bean oil for the day up 29 cents. Wheat futures soft red in the July, the harvest month there at 572.75, down 3. The hard red July at 571, 8.75 cents lower. Live cattle futures at $175.32.5, down $4.92.5. Feeders at $242.67.5, down $6.02.5 in the May. And lean hogs at $103.50, up $2.05. Crude oil at $83.74, 57 cents higher. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.63. That's up about 0.8 cents. And gasoline on the RBOB around 0.9 cents higher, $2.71 for the wholesale price. Natural gas at $1.84.9, up 0.8 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at around 39,893, down 283 points. It did pop up over 40,000 to 40,358 today. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at agmarket.net. Two things on my secondary list of items to talk about. First, let's talk about the 40,000 in the Dow. That's something that probably we should discuss. And then, of course, that number that I had not caught until just now, that feeder cattle and that May contract were down $6 today. Why did those two things happen?
Yeah, we started the day in the meat sector, particularly cattle complex, with some optimism. But as the day wore on, we saw some more wordage on the bird flu and the dairy and migrating into some beef cattle. But there was an article that said that the virus did jump to a human, and there was a human case that came from a facility. And so that kind of spooked the market. Whenever there's just some uncertainty like that, the tendency is for everyone to run for cover. And they took it on the chin pretty bad here. So watched the national news, and you know, hopefully we can work through this fairly quickly. You know, the big question, of course, will be feed demand as we move forward in through here. I would think feed demand would relatively remain strong, you know, as long as we can keep these livestock herds healthy.
And then turn your attention directly to the corn market. Was that the impact into the corn market, down 6.5 cents in the lead May as well, or was it just taking back some of the gains that happened after Thursday's reports last week?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of things. The market technically ran up to some resistance levels and kind of stalled out once again. The funds came in, sold about 6,900 contracts of corn, 2,200 wheat, and about 4,700 contracts going into midday. Earlier, the corn started to try to pop a little bit on the weekly export inspection report. We shipped out right at in the neighborhood of the 56.3 million bushels of corn, and that was at the upper end trade expectations. But two, I think the trade's starting to dial in on weather, and we're looking at some fairly good rain events here in the upper Midwest, so that's going to take the edge off on dry weather concerns short term. This afternoon, we'll have our first crop conditions report, or should I say progress report report for corn. Corn plantings are expected to be 2% complete as a nation. We see that Texas is fairly well in the ground. Louisiana is fairly well in the ground. And also, too, wheat was kind of an anchor. Wheat conditions are expected to be about 57% good to excellent. And that's about twice as good as they were a year ago, Todd.
So we're past the USDA report. So we did not take up, I believe there's a hogs and pigs report on Thursday afternoon. If you've got some numbers from that, that would be good as well. What do we look forward to then in the month of April? Just the planting progress and what that looks like as these Monday reports come out from USDA?
Yeah, we'll continue to watch that on the weekly scale. We've got a situation where the market will be watching the weather forecast more than anything. We'll be watching day-to-day demand. Also, too, we'll continue to have an eye on that southern hemisphere, particularly that second crop, the big crop of corn in Brazil there, and see how it comes along. But no, from here on out, it's strictly a weather event. As far as the hog and pig report, it was slightly higher than what the trade was looking, 0.6% higher on all hogs and pigs. Calf for breeding up just a little over 1% what the trade was looking for. And marketings were just a tad bit higher, but nothing real bearish. The key in the whole meat sector is to have consumer confidence strong and to start firing up some grills here next week once this cold weather gets by here over the next few days.
Anything else on the world or global stage that you're watching that we need to be aware of? And of course, we'll have the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate reports out for the month of April soon enough as well.
Yeah, when we look at those, if you plug in the acreage estimates, the next key, of course, is what type of yield you put on it. If we go ahead and have a decent yield on it, trend line yield, you're going to be looking at corn carryout 2.3 and bean carryout over, 300 million bushels. So weather would be the key. As far as world events, we'll continue to watch the Russia and that Black Sea, Red Sea area. The market seems kind of numb to that, but something can happen here to give the markets some fireworks.
And finally, tomorrow will be our last Tuesday interview with Wayne Nelson. He retired at the end of March, and tomorrow we'll reminisce a bit with him. However, you and I both have had a long relationship with Wayne, both on the air and personally. I know that you are going to miss him. I know I will as well in our discussions each and every Tuesday. He's had quite an influence on WILL and the programming here, and many of those who are on the air with us, I suppose, too.
Oh, boy. It's a tough one to look at. I've had to take quite a few deep swallows. He's just a great individual. He was instrumental at the beginning on part of the programming that started there at the station. He was really committed. Him and I had done a ton of meetings together. In fact, he added up that he has worn out two cars going to meetings and events and just really waving the flag there. But not only the program there, but also the university. If you remember seeing him at the All Day Outlook, he'd have that gold, orange and blue tie on every time. He was a huge Illini supporter. He was with the Eldell fraternity there. He's part of the finance committee there. He was instrumental in lining up scholarships for students there, and just a huge supporter of ACES. And I can't forget that when we had Ag Day there at the university, and they'd have the auction, he would represent all the analysts in bidding for some type of product that they were auctioning off to help, contribute, and we'd all chip in for that. But he would stand there. I don't know if he wiggled his nose, scratched his head, or pulled on his ear, but he was really into doing that. But also, too, at that event, we had Orion Samuelson there a few times. And I got to tell you the story that he acquired a book from Orion Samuelson, and it was autographed. And to give you an idea how positive Wayne was, we saw Orion a couple years at the Farm Progress Show or some meeting, and Wayne and Orion were visiting quite a bit there. And Orion goes, "Well, Wayne, how's it going?" Wayne goes, "Oh, it's all right. We're doing okay." And Wayne got a little choked up, said, "I got good news and I got bad news." And Orion goes, "Well, what's the bad news?" Wayne goes, "My house burnt down." Well, what's the good news? Well, I saved your book that you autographed and gave to me. So
that is true. A true story, yes, on both sides.
Being with Wayne was just a pleasure. It was always an adventure. And Wayne, I'm going to miss you a ton.
And I will too. That, of course, is Kirk Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. We'll talk with Wayne Nelson again tomorrow on a final Tuesday for him. Thank you, Kurt. We appreciate that.
You bet. Take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Ed Essett, agricultural economist from the University of Minnesota with Extension there, now joins us from campus. Hi, Ed. Thank you for being with us. Let's walk our way through the USDA reports, which were released on the last trading day of last week. That was Thursday. They had some surprising numbers in them, and particularly for corn as it's related to the number of acres. USDA right at 90 million acres on the survey of farmers. Last year, 94.6 million for corn. Trade average was above the 90 million, too. I think it was on the bottom end of the range. What'd you think of the figures?
Well, I think the biggest surprise in Thursday's report was the total acres. If you add up all the acres, the planted intentions, not just for corn and soybeans, but for every other grain, the cotton and the sorghum and all that. And somehow we lost, according to this report, the U.S. will be planting like 6 million fewer acres this year than last year, which I think is the biggest surprise. The fact that we're seeing more soybean acres and fewer corn acres, or the expectation is there, that didn't surprise me. It's this total acres number, which is a quirky thing. I mean, what happened to those 6 million acres, or what will happen? Stay tuned. You know, we got to figure that one out.
Well, I saw from Seth Myers, who's the chief economist at USDA on Twitter, and I think this was related to the report. This was on Thursday. He said, hey, acres, which was a question I happened to ask as well, not of them, but of Matt Bennett on Thursday afternoon. And he thought probably hay acres. That's the most likely area. It's almost as if that is the same as the feed and residual category. Hay acres, feed and residual. Yeah. It was somewhere in feed, always related to livestock, which we can't quite track.
Right.
That's where
it is. It's a quirky number. I mean, it's, statistically, there's an approach to that statistically I'd like to understand a little better from the USDA's perspective. But, you know, counting every acre in the U.S. got to be a tough task, and accounting for every acre.
Well, yeah, so it is interesting because this is a survey of nearly 80,000 or more than 80,000. I don't remember where they're at on that number at the moment. Producers as of March 1. So it really does have I can't imagine it's got to be pretty close to what producers are thinking. Now, sometimes they change their minds, and we do see that in the June acreage report.
So that this is not the final say by any means. It just gives you an idea where they're going. But I can think of specific years in the world of spring wheat and durum. I'm going back a few years where the acres were going to be way down and the price was way up. And when all was said and done, we had a lot more durum acres and a lot more spring wheat acres. And it really threw the market for a loop. A lot can change in the next 2 to 3 months.
Well, let's talk about that potential change. So if there were to be a spike in the coming month and it caused a producer to plant spring wheat or to plant more soybean acres or to plant corn acres, do they need to take a position in the marketplace or make a cash sale because the price caused them to make a decision?
Normally I would be all over that. Todd, I'd be all over that if we were talking about markets in some sort of an extreme position, you know, a market on a $1, $2, $3 per bushel rally. Unfortunately, we don't have that right now. We just don't have that right now. We don't have a big rally. You know, corn, the best thing we can say about the corn market and the soybean market over the last month is they're finally off their bottom. Okay, we've had a nice rally in soybeans, an okay rally in the world of corn, and not enough, though. I mean, you know, I think we're going to get more corn acres than this Planet Acres report indicates. It's going to happen because conditions just are begging producers to get more corn in. We're in early. We got it going, and might increase a few more corn acres.
Well, let's talk about Minnesota, particularly as it's related to corn and soybeans. USDA saying, and Minnesota farmers saying, they're going to plant 700,000 acres less than they did last year for corn, and about 150,000 are going to go into soybeans, so that leaves a lot of acres there that must be going somewhere else.
And you want me, a University of Minnesota ag economist, to tell you where those acres are going?
That is your job, yes.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I'd love to know. I can't believe they're going into spring wheat, which would be another major crop as you get into the northwest part of the state, but I'm going to tell you that spring wheat prices are, you know, as bad as corn is. Spring wheat's worse, worth a little more, but you don't get big yields in the world of spring wheat. I'm not sure where that's going. I'm going to have to look into that a little tighter.
Grain stocks report. What'd you think of it?
Neutral thought. I don't think there were major surprises there. I am looking ahead. It's April 1, and I'm looking ahead and looking forward to the next 3 months, because April, May, June has been, it's not always, but it can be an interesting time for prices. Often see better prices. We're getting into what I call the 2-2 season. That is, it's all about the planning progress. We're too early 1 year, we're too late another year, we're too wet another year, we're too dry another year. We get our underwear in a bundle, and we get these markets rallying, often, not always. And to the listeners out there, Todd, I just hope they're ready to get something done. I know there's a lot of old crop corn being held in storage. I hope you got a number in mind. I hope you have an itchy trigger finger to get something done when you see a rally of sorts. So that's my biggest thought here on April 1. Look at these next 3 months as a time to get your affairs in order on the 2023 crop, that decision you've been putting off for months and months. Got to get something done.
On that note, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Indeed. Ed Usett is an agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota with Extension there. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Mark Russo is now here from Everstream Analytics to take a look at the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. Let's start here in the Midwest, where there has been some rainfall. I think particularly in the eastern Corn Belt remains a little wetter. Can you tell me about conditions?
Yeah, well, Todd, we saw over the weekend some rain activity here in portions of not only the eastern Corn Belt, but across much of the Corn Belt here, and then temperatures beginning to cool down south, still anomalously warm up north, and at least that's setting the stage for some additional rains as we go through this week. In fact, over the next couple of days, a pretty strong storm system will be tracking across the Midwest, producing widespread thunderstorm activity, some of which will be on the heavier side, and that will maintain the wetter conditions, especially in areas of the central and eastern Midwest here for this week. Western belt gets a little bit of rain, but again, the wettest conditions this week are a bit more focused central and east.
Do conditions change next week?
It does look like things begin to change. First off, from a temperature standpoint, following that storm system, the cooler temperatures here work their way in, but then that looks to be followed up by actually warmer than normal temperatures evolving across more of the Midwest that will also be accompanied by a bit less active conditions relative to this week. So next week overall in the Midwest looks much better from a planting standpoint versus this week here for this first full week of April.
Taking a look into the lower Mississippi River Valley, so below Illinois, conditions are like what there for planting, as you suggested, that would be in the Delta region. And then if you could take a quick look at the hard red winter wheat growing regions too, please.
Yeah, well, down south, where corn planting has been taking place over the past couple of weeks, it's been a bit of a mixed bag, but generally normal from a macro standpoint. And that looks to continue here going forward. There will be, again, some rain activity, but it doesn't look excessively wet. And temperatures, at least down south, more kind of, normal to then that also begins to evolve warmer than normal as we go into next week. So currently not seeing any issues developing for corn planting across the southern U.S. Meanwhile, in the Plains Hard Red Winter Wheat Belt, focus of attention is on some of the areas that have missed out on rainfall, southwest Kansas down through the Texas Panhandle. The outlook has trended wetter for those areas. There's rain opportunities. Right now, although activity looks a bit scattered in nature, but it's next week, especially the early part of next week, that looks like a much more favorable setup for rains and ultimately improvement in that dry pocket of the plains.
In South America, the safrinha or second crop corn in the center west part of Brazil is of concern, or at least watching what conditions look like as they move closer to the time where the dry season will arrive. What do we know?
Yeah, in center west Brazil, there has been an increase in rain activity over the past week, which has begun to improve conditions. It will improve soil moisture, improve crop conditions. The one area that's missed out is the southern acreage and southern Mato Grosso do Sul and Paraná. That area just experienced their third driest March of the past 20 years. And looking ahead over the next couple of weeks, that area will also be on the drier side. So right now, it does look like from a crop condition standpoint that conditions will decline in Paraná and southern Mato Grosso do Sul. But for the largest producing area there in center west Brazil, conditions should go up. So again, kind of a variable situation.
Hey, thank you much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. He's with Everstream Analytics. You can hear him again on our website on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org, or search out the Closing Market Report in your favorite podcast applications. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.